All right, Psalm chapter number 37. I want to share with you on the today a subject, a prescription for peace in a world that's filled with a world of pain. And I pray today that God will help me. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Sometimes I don't preach on it as much because I find myself preaching on it a lot, maybe at the nursing home in various places. I know it's familiar, and you've probably read it 100 times, and probably in your time of need, that's where you go. But today I hope that I'll be able to shed some more kind of a light on it that maybe you haven't seen or something that'll help you. I just want to take, for sake of time this morning, read one passage, and that'll be verse number 1. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 10, but we'll be dealing with them extensively. And so as we do it, we'll read them as we come to it. But in verse number 1, he said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of the iniquity." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege that we have to come together this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the house of God. We thank you for the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for salvation in God and knowing that one day we leave this place, we're going to a world much better than this place. Lord, we think of those who have already gone on before. And Lord, we're looking forward to the day we'll all be reunited with you in your presence to live with you forever and ever. And what a day that will be. Bless now this day. I pray that you speak to our hearts today, and we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I believe that everyone would agree with me about this statement that I'm about to make. If you wouldn't, you can talk to me after the service and maybe explain it to me. But I would make the statement today that this world is a hard place to live. Now, granted, I want you to understand, I believe with all my heart, God's been good to America, and we're fortunate to live in America. But living the life that we live down here, it's not an easy road. It's not filled with, you know, good things all along. We find that in this world, there's pain, there's problems, there's disease. We deal with death and sorrow, suffering, anger, hatred, sin, ungodliness, and there's a million other things that we have to deal with on a daily basis that we worry about and maybe are afraid of, and we think about it. And yet in this day, there's riddles that we cannot solve. There's things we just can't figure out. There's questions we can't answer. I wish today, as your pastor, and oftentimes folks have come to me and asked me a question, and I wish that I had a vast knowledge that I could answer every question that anybody asked me, but I'll be honest with you, there's questions that I can't even answer. But yet today we have questions that can't be answered, and there's problems literally that cannot be solved. And when I say that, and I understand, there is a solution, and we're going to get to that. But within our strength and our help, there's really nothing that we can do about these problems that exist in the world. But you know, that's nothing new. We were told long about that in the Word of God long time ago in Job 14, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Man is born of a woman, is few of days, and full of trouble." We find today Job, and I'm not going to preach on Job this morning, but listen, a great example of how hard this world is to live in. In John 16, 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer," he said, "I have overcome the world." And so the thing that I want you to understand today is that regardless of where you're at, regardless of what your situation is, I want you to know today, if you're a child of God, there's peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace that can be available to whosoever will receive that and understand it. But all these things that we go up against in life and the things we see and the way people do and certain things around about us, it leaves us confused. Sometimes it leaves us angered. Sometimes we find that we have fear and doubt. And the Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of boldness and of a sound mind. Yet today, we find here the wicked run the show. I tell you today, the wicked seem to prosper, don't they? They seem to be the ones with all the money. I tell you today, people say, "Boy, if I could just win the lottery, that'd solve my problems." No, it'd be just the beginning of your problems, actually, if you're a child of God. I'm not saying it, well, I am saying it's wrong, because I believe playing the lottery is gambling. That's just the way it is. I've never bought a ticket, never planned to, so I know I'm not going to win. But the fact of it is, the answer is not in how much money we got. It's not in what we're able to accomplish, but yet we look at people and man, they look like they're doing good, don't they? I mean, they don't go to church and they don't do like we do, but yet we find that they seemingly are doing good. And then the winds of doubt begin to buffet our vessel. And the old vessel begins to rock, and if we're not careful, we'll get a little bit shaken. Discouragement will threaten to sink us when the mounting winds continue to blow against us in the storms of life. Defeat and despair cloud our vision, and if we're not careful, we'll no longer see the hope and help we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe today there's a lot of Christians that have gotten to the point to where they've gotten so consumed with their feelings of problems in their life that it's gotten dim on the other side to realize that there's hope and help in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find defeat and despair cloud our vision. We think the sunny shore of sweet deliverance has vanished from our sight. The storms of life sometimes are hard to navigate. They're hard to endure. They're hard to understand. I don't know, many of you probably have experienced what I've experienced, but maybe not quite as much. But I tell you, I deal with a lot of people that are sick. I deal with a lot of people that have heartache. I deal with a lot of people that have problems. And to listen to their voice and to know that they're a child of God and to know they love God and they want to serve God and be faithful to God. Yet I hear in their voice something that disturbs me, and it's not disturbed with them at all. It's disturbed the fact that we have so many things that come against us that our faith must remain strong in the Lord. Amid the problems and pains of life, it's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to let despair set in. Sometimes if you're not careful, we want to give up. I know people today that used to go to church and used to be faithful to church, and they said, hey, if that's the Christian life, I don't want it. Friend, I tell you today, just because we're trying to live a Christian life, it doesn't mean everything's going to be peachy and rosy and everything's going to be the way we want it. But what it does mean is we've got somebody to help us in our time of need if we'll keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him. I'm going to have to move because there's a lot of things to do. But I believe in Psalm 37 we find the prescription for peace in the midst of a world full of pain. And I want you to look with me if you would today. We begin by reading, and I've already touched on just a little bit in verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. The first thing I want you to notice, if we're going to have peace in this world, we need to follow God's command. You know what I found out? Oftentimes people come to me for counseling, and when they come to me for counseling, and I try to counsel them and tell them what they need to do, is for some reason, some folks just don't want to hear that. They think that I have a magic wand, and when they come in, I can wave that magic wand, and all of a sudden they'll have peace, and all their problems will be gone, and everything will be solved. Friend, I want you to know there's a condition for us to have peace in this world that we live in. There's a condition that we must meet. There's some things that we need to obey. And if we don't follow God's command, there's people oftentimes say to me, they say, well, God blesses them, and I don't know why God don't bless me. Well, friend, it might be because maybe they are following God's commands and maybe you're not. I'm not saying you're not. I don't know. I'm not thinking nobody individually. But I'm simply saying today, if we follow God's command, God blesses us. Now, in Psalm 37, there's two types of commands that are given to us. We find some negative commands and we find some positive demands. And we're going to look, first of all, commands. We're going to look, first of all, at the negative commands and consider them first. The first one we notice is found in verse number 1. I've already talked about it. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Be thou not envious against the workers of iniquity. That word that we find here, fret, it means to be angry over. And the word envious, of course, means to be jealous of. Today, we don't need to be angry over what's happening in the world. Friend, can I remind you, and I'm going to get there in just a minute, but I want to remind you that we've got hope and help in heaven, and one day we're going to be with Jesus forever and ever. I tell you, that's the greatest benefit you can have in the world. And yet the wicked and those that are lost do not have that. The word envious means to be jealous. Friend, don't be jealous of what the world has. We ought to be living in such a way they'd be jealous of what we have. I'm not talking about houses and lands and cars and all those things. I'm talking about that they would see us as people that loved God, people that was willing to live for God and serve God. And in spite of all the things that we have, and I don't have time to get into it today, but I'm telling you today, I read in the news every day, there's people that have millions of dollars, but they're unhappy, and their life is a shamble, and it's a wreck. And I'd rather have little and have God than to have all that the world has to offer and have nothing. I want you to skip with me down to verse number 7 in the latter part. I'm not going to start at the first, but I want you to go to that word fret. In verse number 7, he said, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." The idea here is the same as it is in verse 1. When the wicked prosper, we're not to be envious of their success. Prosperity of the wicked is many times directly tied to the fact that they will do anything they can unethical to get the fame and fortune that they obtain. I'm not saying there's some people that have done quite well. And listen, we ought not to begrudge that, especially in the house of God. If there's people of God that God blesses financially, that's a wonderful thing. But what we understand is there's a lot of people, they're rich today. But how did they get rich? They were not concerned about how they got the money. They was not concerned about who they hurt in order to get the money. And they'd do anything they could for self. Friend, that's nothing for us to be jealous of. I tell you, to live right and upright, we understand that many of them people will lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, they'll do whatever it takes to get where they need to be. And I'm not saying that about everybody, so don't go out of here and say, "Well, he said if you're rich, you had to lie, steal, and cheat." No, sir, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying, for many that are ungodly, they live in a world, they seem to be doing well. I mean, they've got it all. And, you know, somebody, if you're not careful, old devil will say, "You know, that tithe you give, man, that'd make a nice car payment. I tell you, that tithe you give, that'd buy you a boat." Yeah, they'd take you out of church on Sunday too. But anyway, you said, "Man, if I had, if it just, you know, look at them and what they're going through." Friend, one day I'm going to live with Jesus. And there's nothing greater, no greater thought than that. You see, we are not to be like them. God did not call us to be like them. He called us to separate ourselves from them. Look down in verse number 8. We find again the latter part of the verse. Again, there's that word. "Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." We must not allow the problems of life and the prosperity of the lost world around us to cause us to despair. If you're not careful, we might conclude that the only way to be successful is to do what they do. And to maybe live like they live and accept some of the ways that they are. And that's the wrong perspective to have. Friend, I want you to know, and I my life verse that I claimed a long time ago is, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And I'm grateful today that the Bible also said, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory." I'm glad that I don't have to worry about supplying my needs. My God supplies my needs. I tell you today, if it was based on me, I'd make a mess of it anyway. But I know if I follow God and am obedient to him, that he will supply my needs. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to have some hard times. It doesn't mean we're not going to experience some difficulty. It doesn't mean that we're not going to experience some trials, because we will. There's a group that get on television. I call them the kind of the joy boys. They always happy. They said Jesus wants us to be happy. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be wealthy. He wants us to have all those good things. I have a tendency to disagree with him. I believe God wants his best for our life. But I don't believe his best is always being wealthy, nor is it always being healthy. I read in my Bible to where people went through many difficult trials and many times in their life. And by the way, I hear some of these fellows, they get on television, they say, "Buddy, you just name it and claim it. You whatever you want, you name it and claim it." I remember one time I went to somewhere and a guy said, "Man, what do you want? Do you want a Mercedes? Do you want a Cadillac? Just tell God what you want." Friend, I want you to know I'm not in the habit of telling God anything. I'm in the habit of asking God, and I'm asking not to consume it upon my own lust, but that I might ask according to his will. But in this world, we're going to suffer. Yep, we're going to do without some things. We're going to feel pain. And I can vouch, the older you get, the more pain you're going to feel. I tell you, boy, it's so wonderful. And then we have problems. Boy, I tell you what, it seems like every time you turn around, something hits you in the face, something comes along and happens you wasn't expecting, and man, you said, my life, why is this coming on me? Disease will come, and unfortunately, even death will come. I tell you, I hate to even think about death. I hate to think about losing the people I love down here. But I think about it a minute, and then I rejoice, and I say, hey, it's all right. I'm going to see them again. And not only am I going to see them again, but they're going to be in a place where God can bless them, and they'll be with him on a daily basis. Unfortunately, we live in a world where marriages will fail. I wish today that there'd never be another divorce. I wish today that it never happened, but friend, I'm telling you, we live in a world that exists with problems. There's problems, and things fail, and things happen. By the way, we live in a time when churches split. People get mad, and they go, I think about it so often. You know, we need to understand that it's important to understand what we're doing and how God has blessed us in the way that we are. I think about it. I can't even remember the name of the church, but there was a church and had a split. And the other church, they went out and started, and they called themselves the new whatever the church was. It wasn't nobody around here. And they talked about the new whatever. And then a few months later, it split, and they had another one, and it said, we're the second new Baptist church or whatever. And, you know, churches split. I tell you, I thank God for our church. And I tell you, we're not problemless. We have problems. But thank God, I believe we got some people that love God, and we're here to serve Him and to exalt Him and to realize today what He'll do for us. Hearts are going to break. There's some of you sitting here this morning. I don't know. I just know God told me to preach this. But it might be just for you, because your heart may be aching right now so bad it's about to burst out of your body. But friend, I can't worry about all those people out there that are wicked and doing the things they're doing. I can't help how they prosper or what they do. All I can do is do what God told me to do and follow His commands. Some of the suffering comes from living in a world that is cursed by sin. Some of our suffering comes from the world that hates God, hates the Son of God, hates the Word of God. And boy, I believe it's more prevalent every day. I've never felt that we've been attacked any more than we are in this day. People do not want the Bible. They don't want it talked about. They call us Christians. They call us all kind of names, and they identify us as being nobodies. Friend, I'm telling you, there's one day when this nation was founded upon godly principles. We've gotten away from all that. Regardless of the source of the intensity of the pain, we need to endure, trust in God. Israel, we know. We find if we allow ourselves to envy the lost world, we might conclude that serving the Lord does not pay off. I have a pastor friend, and he preaches a message. He said, it pays to serve God. And he wasn't talking about go to the bank window and get your money. He's talking about just the benefits of what God does. But you see, Israel did that in Numbers chapter 11. The writer of Psalm in chapter 73, a man by the name of Asaph, he did that. But to avoid being discouraged and defeated by pain, defeated by the problems of life, we need to understand today we must never compare ourselves to anyone else. You know, that's the problem. Whether it's lost or whether it's another saved person, don't never compare yourself to somebody else. Friend, every one of us is going to give an account to God for what we've done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And I tell you today, God expects us to worry about us. I tell you today, if I just take care of my problems and do what I need to do, and you take care of yours and do what you need to do, I tell you, we'd have a wonderful relationship. And God could do wonderful things. But you know, today they get envious and they said, oh boy, that looks like the life. I tell you today, I'm not a very wise man. I wish I was smarter than I was. But I learned something a long time ago, and I learned it well. It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I stand here as your pastor today and tell you, I fear the Lord. I fear Him, and I want to do what's right, but I understand I serve a mighty God in heaven. I understand today that I've got a family and I've got friends and I've got people that God has entrusted to be in my family and to be with me. And I tell you, I realize today that I need to be obedient to God and following Him so God will bless me and bless my family, because I don't want harm to come. But yet people say, well, I'm just giving up. Don't give up. Don't quit. God's still on your side. When you get that way, here's what you need to do. Remember where you're headed. I've already talked a little bit about it, but where are you headed? Well, you hope you're headed to heaven. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're headed to heaven. I tell you, I'm just a few stops away, by the way. I have no idea how long I'll live, but I tell you what, based on what I see and what I read in the paper and what I find out about people, I mean, at 69 years old, there can't be too many more years left, and even if there is, it'd be wonderful, and God would bless, but hey, listen, I'm closer home than I've ever been. I love living with my family down here, but I'm excited that one day I'm going to live with my family up there. Second of all, remember who your father is, and then remember who their father is. People that are lost today, their father's the devil. But I tell you today, my Father is the Heavenly Father. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the rocks in every mine. He said, ask, seek, and knock, and ye shall receive. So I'm glad today that my Heavenly Father knows what needs I have. He knows my heart. Remember the promises they have been given. Then remember the promise that you've been given. You have everything in Jesus Christ. Remember they're still in their sins and headed to hell. Then remember that you're saved by the grace of God. Your sins are gone forever, and we're going to heaven. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. Yes, sometimes in our young age, we sow our wild oats. We do things that we shouldn't do, and we regret them. But thank God, when we confess them, they're cast under the blood of Jesus Christ, never to be remembered against us anymore. I'm grateful today for God's blessings. And then quickly, or we notice the positive commands that's given to us. These commands represent what we must do. In chapter, we'll look at verse 3 in the first part. He said, trust in the Lord. He said, and do good, and we'll get to that in a minute. But trust in the Lord. This speaks of a matter of confidence. Don't place your faith in riches. Don't place your faith in people. Don't place your faith in things. I want to be a man of my word, and I want you to know that I'll do what I said I would do, and that you can depend on me and you can talk to me. But I want to remind you something. I'm human, and I can falter and I can fail. And if I do, you understand. And I ain't planning on it, but if I do, you understand. You wasn't coming here for me. You was coming here for Him. And I tell you, you keep on serving Him. He will never fail you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We find here we're to look to the Lord. He's our supply. He's our strength. He's our help. He's our wealth. He's our health, our abilities, our plans, our strategies of thinking. Listen, all of that will not fail if we follow Him. We must place our trust in Him alone. I love that song, in Christ alone. Friend, I tell you today, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In Lamentations 3:22 and 23, is it of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed? Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Listen, great is thy faithfulness. He said in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews chapter 10, 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Then notice behind that, He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Regardless of what the wicked do, God just said, do good. You said, but you know, did you see what somebody did? I can't help what somebody did, but I can help what I do. I think today what we need to understand, that everything we do ought to be good. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It don't always happen that way. Sometimes this old mouth gets me in trouble. Sometimes I do things that I ought, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, going out and just willfully sinning. But I'm just talking about doing things that I really don't take into consideration, understanding. I want my life to present a life of goodness to others. We ought to weigh every word before we speak it. We ought to consider every step before we take it. We ought to think about our actions before we do them. And I'm glad today that God sometimes, when something comes along, God helps me to realize that I need to just take a little time and let God have His will and way. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're a child of God, when you do wrong things and do bad things, I got some news for you. The Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son. And I tell you, when you got saved, you become a child of the King. And the King will chastise you along the way. God's plan for peace demands that we give up our sins and do the things that please Him. Let me quickly move on. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. The word delight means exquisite joy. Friend, today, the source of our joy is not what the stock market does tomorrow. The source of our joy does not rest in what the president does tomorrow. The source of our joy does not rest in how much we make or how much we accomplish in this life. I promise you, none of those things will give you the peace that you need. But in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you what you need to bring about happiness and peace. I've said this so often, and I'll say it again, but some of the most contented people in the world are some of the people at the nursing home. They just sitting in a little room every day, I don't know, 10 by 10, 10 by 12 maybe, I don't know. They're sitting there every day and same walls every day, and I'm sure they go to the same place to eat every day, but you go and see them, and they got joy. You said, man, how can you do that? Only if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the source of our joy. The Bible said in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When things or people are the source of your joy is going to come and it's going to go. To wax and wane, to grow and fade, but the Lord alone is the joy of my life. I got the joy down in my heart. Do you? I tell you today, if you know Christ, it ought to give you a joy and peace and rejoicing like you've never had before. But God's peace for this world demands that we allow ourselves to be consumed with His person and with His glory and with His wonder. And then verse 5 and 6, He said, commit thy ways unto the Lord. And then He said, and He shall bring, verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Commit. That means to roll on to. Command here is people of God to take their plans, take their dreams, take their ambitions, their hopes and their desires, and just roll them over on Him because He can take care of them. I am to take care of all the things I want and yield to His will, trusting that God knows best for our life. I tell you, the other day was just dealing with circumstance, and in my mind, listen, when I see God work, in a certain way, I can't argue with God's working. I may question why, and in my mind, I wonder how that could be. But friend, when God does it, it takes care of all the doubt that we should have in our life. We need to surrender to His will in all things. Then in verse 7, He said, rest in the Lord. Quit fretting. Quit worrying. Just give it to Jesus. Let Him have it. Let Him take the problem. You know, it's kind of, you know, like somebody fretting and getting, you know, upset. And you just kind of, you know, not in a mean way, but you just want to say, stop. Be quiet. Hush. Listen to God and do what He has to say. It's hard, isn't it? But we need to have patience. The Bible said, Hebrews 10:36-37, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. In Galatians 6:9, he said, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God's plan for peace in this world demands that we stop trying to fix everything in this life, and we may wait patiently upon the Lord. Verse number 8, just too much here to cover in one service, but look at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Boy, you know, when the wicked prosper, when life turns around, the word anger speaks of flaring of the nostrils. You ever seen somebody get mad? Nostrils just start going out and smoke start coming out of the ears. Just kidding. You can hear, you know, you can hear it in their voice. But cease from anger means to forsake, to leave, just let go. I remember I used to be an assistant to a pastor when I was in Bible school, and I remember his favorite saying. He never stood in the pulpit, he didn't say this. He said, let go and let God. And friend, I say to you this morning, let go and let God. Cease from anger. Therefore, if thou bring a gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave therefore the gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy life. This is the Lord's command, the children to practice absolute forgiveness regardless of their action. God's plan for peace in this world demands that his people walk in love, forgiveness, and peace among ourselves. I know you're saying, preacher, you're still on the first point. Well, I got some good news. I got some bad news. The bad news is I'm not done. But the good news is I only have 2 points. And the second was not as bad as the first one. The second thing, embrace God's promises. I'll go through them quickly. I'm not going to keep you here. I know you're listening. But go back. I just want you to see this psalm. Look at verse 3. The latter part of verse 3, I skipped it a while ago. He said, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Friend, God will do what he said he would do. He's never, ever failed. Look at verse 4. I've already said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and what? He will give thee the desires of the heart. Friend, I'm telling you, there's things God will give us, even probably that we don't need. But if we desire it in the right attitude about it, God will give it to us. Then look at verse 5 and 6. We talked about it where he said, commit thy way unto the Lord. But notice what he said. He said, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You see, that's just good stuff. I'm telling you, this is what God said, and the psalmist is writing, and he's telling us about if we'll forget about all those people, quit fretting about them, quit being jealous of them, quit being envious of them, get rid of the anger. In everything we do, there is a direct promise that God gives to us, that we embrace that promise and understand what God does. He'll bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness in the light, and judgment as the noonday. I'm going to tell you something. God is never hurried by our worry, okay? Everything's going to be right on his time, in his timing, so fret not. Oh, you see, God has a plan. Look at verse 9. Already looked at it. For evildoers shall be cut off, those that wait upon the Lord. But wait a minute. He said the evildoers should be cut off. But look at the latter part. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Friend, I don't know about you, but I'm a child of God. I know Jesus. I know I'm going to heaven. And I know what he said that I needed to not, what I needed to not do, fret not. And I don't need to worry, but I need to delight in the Lord and commit my way to the Lord. And then he tells me all these things that he's going to do for me. But listen, if we don't do what Christ has us to do, and if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I got some real bad news. I was just cutting up a while ago. I didn't have no bad news. But I got some real bad news for those who reject Christ. The Bible said in Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. God will bless those who adopt his way, and he'll give us the help and the peace that we need. I want peace this morning. Do you? I tell you, only God can give the peace that passes all understanding. Friend, act upon the promises of God. Understanding today that God wants to bless us in a special way. Friend, today, listen, that ought to excite us more than anything in all the world. To know that we have a God that cares about us. He cares about the peace that we have in our hearts and in our lives. Let's pray.